السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة، وخلق منها زوجها، وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the Muslim Ummah today is undergoing a series of crises the likes of which we have not seen for the previous centuries of Islam. The Muslim Ummah today is being attacked from many different angles and from many different fronts. And it is possible that many of us, when we look at what is happening in the Ummah, a sense of despair, a sense of overwhelming grief, a sense of despondency overtakes us. Look at the Ummah from a political standpoint. How many are the wounds? How many are the hemorrhages? How many are the places it is bleeding from? Look at the Ummah from an economic perspective. How much has Allah blessed us with in natural resources, and yet who is benefiting from those resources? Look at the Ummah from an intellectual standpoint. We have some of the brightest minds. We have some of the most intellectual people, and yet they have to go study in other lands most of the time. Their talents are being used in ways that are not necessarily the most beneficial for the Ummah. Look at the Ummah from a social perspective. How many are the social ills that Islam came to eliminate, and yet they are still found in the Ummah? And the fact of the matter is that many an intelligent, young, bright Muslim or Muslimah, when they look at this reality and the dismal picture, then it is possible that even their faith itself is shaken. It is possible they wonder, why is this happening? What is the reason why we are being tested in this manner? Why are we humiliated? Why are our resources being exploited by others when we are the nation that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed? And we are the believers in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a very profound and deep question. And it is a question that deserves not just a khutbah, but many hours of thought and many dissertations and many articles. But in today's brief khutbah, I wanted to shed some light on some of the wisdoms of why Allah is testing this ummah. And we need to realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that this testing has been predicted by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in multiple ahadith. Of them is the famous hadith in Sahih Muslim that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ma min nabiyyin, there's not a single prophet that has ever come except that he has warned his ummah of every evil and encouraged them of every good. And as for this ummah of yours, he is telling us, hadith is in Sahih Muslim, وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ, this ummah of yours, جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا, its blessed era, its era of problem-free existence has been made the earlier time. جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا, the early times of the ummah will be the more blessed, the fitna free, the times of izzah and glory will be the earlier times. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا, and as for the later generations, as for the later times, they shall be afflicted with issues and trials, بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا, you will not be able to understand them. You will reject them, you will not want them. And our Prophet ﷺ said, وَتُجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةِ, and fitnas will come. فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا, each fitna will make the previous one seem trivial. Each trial will make the previous one seem like a lesser trial. So in this hadith, we are foretold, the warning, the prediction is given, that your ummah, the later generations, will be subjugated to trial after trial, to tribulation after tribulation. And each time one trial comes, the previous one will seem even less significant, even less. So much so, our Prophet ﷺ said, the hadith goes on, that when a fitna comes, the mu'min will say, هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي, this fitna will destroy me. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ, then the fitna will be lifted up. وَتَجِيءُ أُخْرَى, another fitna will come, and the mu'min will say, هَذِهِ هَذِهِ, this is the one that will destroy me. Now this hadith is a very stark reminder that the later parts of this ummah, and there is no doubt we are witnessing the later parts of this ummah, the later parts of this ummah will be afflicted with trials and tribulations. So the question is, why? If our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has predicted that the later generations will face fitna, why? The response to this is manifold. Point number one, why are we being afflicted? What does a fitna do? What is the purpose of a fitna? The Arabic word fitna comes from fatana. And fatana means to examine and test in order to clean and purify. The word fatana means to examine and test in order to clean and purify. And that is why in classical Arabic, the goldsmith was called fatan, the one who causes a fitna. Why? Because what does a goldsmith do? He takes raw ore, and that ore has mud and sand and gold. And then what does he do? He throws it into a furnace, and that furnace was called fitna. Then when the gold ore comes out, you have pure gold on the one side, and you have the filth, the riffraff, the mud on the other side. So the purpose of the fitna is to separate the good from the bad. This is linguistically, and this is exactly the purpose of a fitna in our religion as well. Why is Allah Azza wa Jal inflicting fitnas upon us? Because, my dear brothers and sisters, this world is a world of test and trial. Many of us think this world should be our Jannah. But no, our Jannah is the next life. And this world is the stepping stone to that next life. How do we attain Jannah in the next life? By our responses to the fitnas of this life. How is our level in Jannah ascertained? By our responses to the fitna in this world. My dear brothers and sisters, I have been told that this is your exam week. You are undergoing your exams the next week. This is exactly what a fitna is. Why do your professors, why do your teachers, why do your educators subjugate you to this fitna? And exams are a fitna. Why do they subjugate you to this torture? You're studying 9, 10, 12 hours a day. You're all nervous. You're making extra dua in these weeks. Why? Because this is the only way to test good students from the average, from the not so average. This is the only way to assign a grade. So this whole world is an exam. This whole world is a fitna. And the purpose of the exam is to get our grades for the next life. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is testing us through these fitnas. And Allah is very explicit about this wisdom. The beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did mankind think that they would be left alone after they say we believe without being tested, without being shown fitnas? وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah says in the Quran that وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have tested and tried the people before them so that Allah will see who is telling the truth versus those who are lying. So my dear brothers and sisters, the purpose of the fitna, all fitnas, social, economic, political, all fitnas are meant to test our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we pass the exam? What do we need to do to make sure we get a good grade? The response to fitnas, again to summarize because time is limited. Number one, to pass the exam of this world. Number one, never lose faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran that the people before you were tested and tried. وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were shaken to the core. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعْمَتَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Until even the prophets and the believers, they began questioning, when is the help of Allah? Where is the help of Allah? So Allah says, the people in the past were tested, they were shaken, but their faith in Allah Azza wa Jal, even though it was tested, they passed the test. So number one, no fitna should make our faith diminish, it should make our iman in Allah rise. And the examples in the seerah are numerous. How many times were the Sahaba surrounded by the enemies? Look at the battle of the trench, the battle of the Ahzab, when 10,000 people surrounded Medina and the Sahaba themselves were tested. And Allah says that when they saw all of these armies, زادتهم إيمانا. Their iman went up. وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. They said Allah is sufficient for us, and what a beautiful protector He is. So number one, our iman should never be shaken. It should go up. Number two, we need to make sure that we live up in accordance with the laws of Islam, with the Sharia of Islam. Our actions need to demonstrate what we believe. Realize, ilm and amal go hand in hand. Knowledge and actions always go hand in hand. So when we say we are Muslims, it is not enough to say we are Muslims. We need to live like Muslims. Our rituals, our pillars of worship, our manners should reflect Islam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly said, hadith is in Muslim Imam Ahmad, worshipping Allah during a time of fitna will get you the rewards of making hijrah to me in Medina. Al-ibadatu fil fitna, worshipping Allah in fitna, ka hijratin ilayya, is like making hijrah to me. So he linked ibadah with fitna. During times of fitna, our iman should increase, and our amal, our actions, should also increase. We need to look at our prayer, our Quran, our dhikr. We need to look at our spirituality during times of fitna. Number three, after iman, after amal. Number three, we need to learn and teach others. We need to become role models in all of our communities. No matter what your job and profession, you need to influence others. Whoever is in your circle of influence, whether you're a sheikh or alim, whether you're a talib al-ilm, whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, you need to influence positively the people around you. You need to advise them what is good, and you need to become a role model. One of the du'as of the Qur'an teaches us that the Muslim says, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us the imam of all muttaqeen. It is not arrogance to want to be righteous for the sake of Allah so that people can also benefit from you. This is not arrogance. As long as it is for the sake of Allah, you want to be a positive role model. You want others to be influenced by you. So point number three, you become a qudwa. You become a leader. Even if it's not a leader at the national level, a leader in your community, a leader in your family, a leader in your neighborhood, you become a positive influence wherever you are. And the fourth point is that once you are doing all of this, be consistent and be patient and realize that you might not see the results immediately, but Allah Azza wa Jal is seeing your efforts. In our religion, mark my words and memorize them, Allah is not judging you based upon the end result. Allah will judge you based upon your efforts. And no other being will ever judge you based upon your efforts alone. Your teachers now, they don't care how many hours you study. They care about your exam grade. They don't care how many hours you toiled and how much you memorized and how you disturbed your sleep this entire few weeks. They want to see only the results. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, the result is irrelevant. If you don't change the ummah, if you don't solve the Palestinian crisis, Allah's not going to ask you, did you put in the effort? Did you show me you tried? So Allah will judge you based upon your effort. These are the four points of responding to a fitna. And all of these four points are beautifully summarized in a surah that all of you know. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. All of mankind, Allah swears by time, will be in a loss except for those who, number one, believe. Your iman should never be shaken by fitna. Number two, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Their actions live up to their words. Their mannerisms live up to their speech. Number three, تَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ. They advise others for the truth. They become role models. And then when they do that, تَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. They are prepared to face the consequences. They're patient in all that they do, and they expect the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وبعد, O Muslims, I began my khutbah talking about some major problems the Ummah is facing. And the question that might arise in the minds of some of you, all that you have said is not realistically going to affect the entire Ummah. Even if I do all that you have said, if I make my life more righteous, if my relationship with Allah becomes strong, if my salah becomes my power and my source of spiritual sustenance, if I become a role model in my own local neighborhood, in my masjid, in my family, how will that help Syria or Egypt or Kashmir or Palestine or the economics of the Ummah or the natural resources being ravaged by Western lands? How will that help? So there is a cynicism. There is a cynicism that is formed. What is the benefit of doing all of this for the global Ummah? To respond to this question, I answer it in two ways. Number one, my dear brothers and sisters, number one, Allah will not ask you about international issues beyond your capability. Perhaps in my whole lifetime, I will not be able to solve the Palestinian crisis. Perhaps I can't do that. But Allah will ask me about my life and what I did with the resources I have and the energy I have and the sustenance I have and the health that I have. Allah will ask me my life, and Allah will ask you about your life. So the exam is not about the Ummah. The exam is about me and about you. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Every one of us will bear testimony and judgment only for himself and herself. So be selfish when it comes to righteousness. يا أيها الذين آمنوا عليكم أنفسكم قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. Save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. Do what you can, even if it's for selfish motivations, that I'm doing it for myself and my and my family and friends. Number two, my dear brothers and sisters, what is the Ummah composed of other than me and you? What is the Ummah composed of other than me and you? I am a brick in the Ummah, and you are a brick in the Ummah. The Ummah is a wall of bricks. If each brick becomes solid in itself, if each brick remains and retains its strength, the wall of the Ummah will be erected with fortitude, with strength, with perseverance. But if one brick in the middle is weak, all of the bricks are going to be weak. And our job and role collectively is to do what we can individually, and Allah Azza wa Jal will bring about change. Allah is very clear in the Quran, and I'm sure you have heard this verse quoted dozens of times. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the status of a nation until they change what is in each and every one of themselves. What is a qawm other than me and you combined? What is a nation? What is an ummah other than the collective membership of all of us together? My dear brothers and sisters, imagine if an entire auditorium at night was plunged into darkness. Imagine if this whole hall was shut off electricity. There were no lights. And one of us stood up and said, where are the lights of the masjid? I don't know. There's nothing I can do. He could sit down and nothing would happen. But if every one of us took out our own phones, iPhones, our own personal lights, small flashes, small whatever light source you have, if every person in this room pulled out a small light source, the entire masjid would be set alight. It would be blazing alight. Brothers and sisters, every one of us has a role to play in the Ummah. Do not trivialize your role. The Ummah might not know who you are. Allah will know who you are. Your name might not be recorded in the books of history as one of the movers and shakers, but Allah will record your name, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah never causes to waste the good of any who do good. So for these two reasons, my dear brothers and sisters, do not trivialize your role in the Ummah. First and foremost, do it for yourself. And secondly, realize that what is the Ummah other than me and you? My dear brothers and sisters, we are currently facing a crisis. Not even a crisis, crises in the plural. the likes of which we have probably not seen since the Mongol invasion of the 13th century. Study Islamic history, the number of crises that we're facing, the qualities, the types. It is simply very, very dangerous for the Ummah. We never have the luxury of ignoring Islam, but especially now, we do not have that luxury. So my advice to myself first and foremost, and to all of you, understand the fitnas that the Ummah is facing has divine wisdom. Allah Azza wa Jal is doing this for a wisdom, and that wisdom is to test our iman and our amal and our ilm, to test our patience. And if inshaAllah ta'ala we do what we can individually, then inshaAllah ta'ala Allah Azza wa Jal will protect us collectively. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada'lana fi hadhi yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه، واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه، وثنى بملائكة قدسه، وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، واشكروه يجد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، وأقم الصلاة.